Hare Krishna.
Srimad Bhagavatam Sutta.
Reading today from the 10th canto, chapter 66, which you all know by now, is Pondraka, the false Vasudev. We're reading text 20 through 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato jayam udirayet, nasta prayeshu apadreshu, nityam bhagavata sevaya, bhagavata yutama shloke, bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator, by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that's troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as irrevocable fact. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Text 20. Pondraka is going to meet his end today. But it's not inauspicious, it's very auspicious. Tajayasi bidam. Oh, sorry. I'll try it again. Tajayase bidanam me. Tajayase bidanam me. Yatvadya mrisha drittam. Patvayagya mrisha drittam. Rajami Sharanam Tejya. Rajami Sharanam Tejya. Yada Yadi Nichchami Samyugam. Yadi Nichchami Samyugam. Tajayishe Bidanam Me. Yatvagya ya mrisha dritam. Rajami sharanam teja. Yadi nichchami samyugam. Please chant. Tajayishe bidanam me. Yatvayagya misham dritam. Rajami. Tajayishe vidanam me. Yat prayagya misham vritam. Rajami sharanam teja. Yadi nechchami samyugam. Svajayise vijanam me. Yat tvayagyam risham dritam. Rajami sharanam teja. Yadi nechchami samyugam. Ladies. Sayaji sevidanam me. Yatvajyagyanasushadvisam. Rajami sharanam teja. Yadi nechchami samyugam. Svajayise vidanam me. Yatvayagyamrisham kritam. Vrajami sharanam teja. Svajayise vidanam me. Yatvayagyamrishadvitam. Vrajami sharanam teja. Yadi nechchami samyugam. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Tadyayise. I will make you renounce. Abhidanam. Designation. May. My. Yat, which, tvaya, by you, agya, O fool, mrisha, falsely, dritam, assumed, rajami, I will go, sharanam, to the shelter, te, your, adya, today, yadi, if, na ichchami, I do not desire, samyugam, battle. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. O fool, now I shall make you renounce my name, which you have falsely assumed, and I will certainly take shelter of you if I do not wish to fight you. The purport is, Srila Prabhupada writes as follows, quote, now, Pondraka, I shall force you to give up this false representation. You wanted me to surrender unto you. Now, this is your opportunity. We shall now fight, and if I am defeated and you become victorious, I shall certainly surrender unto you. I wonder if that's going to happen. Let's see what the next verse says. We can say this, chant this together, please. Iti kshiparsitar banar vrati kritya pondrakam shiro vrishchadratangena rajendro yatagirehe. Translation is, having thus derided Pondraka, Lord Krishna destroyed his chariot with his sharp arrows. The Lord then cut off his head with his Sudarshan disc, just as Lord Indra lops off a mountain peak with his thunderbolt weapon. And then what happens is, text 22, together, Tata kashi patet kayach chira ukritya patribihi Nyapatyayat kashipuram padmakosham ivanila padmakosham, like a lotus flower, eva, like a lotus flower. What's happening with that lotus flower? With his arrows, Lord Krishna similarly severed Kasi Raja's head from his body, sending it into Kasi city like a lotus flower thrown by the wind. purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains why Krishna threw Kashi Raja's head into the city. Quote, as he went off to battle, the king of Kashi had promised the citizens, my dear residents of Kashi, today I will bring the enemy's head into the midst of the city. Have no doubt about this. Unquote. Well, that's a little quote inside the quote, sorry. The king's sinful queens had also boasted to their maids-in-waiting, today our master will certainly bring the head of the Lord of Dwarka. Therefore, the Supreme Lord threw the king's head into the city just to astonish the inhabitants. Oma ginatimirandasya dinandina silakaya chaksu umitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born into the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I am eternally indebted unto his lotus feet and beg for service to his lotus feet life after life. Hare Krishna. So, in our story of Pandraka, the false Vasudeva, without much endeavor, Pandraka meets his end today. Pandraka, in order to get his position as the false Vasudeva, he had to undergo austerities for quite some time. Austerities to get a boon from Lord Shiva that he would be able to appear like Krishna, his dress, his manners, whatever, and surrounded by, as Prabhupada says, other childish fools. He was illusioned to such an extent that there he was thinking that now I have become Vasudeva himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And yet there's this other person over there in Dwarka who's falsely assumed my position. So audacious was this poor little Pandraka that Sukadeva Goswami mentions it twice, how he's such a fool, because Sukadeva Goswami is so surprised, that's my word, that he's so astonished at his foolishness. We can understand a little bit about the foolishness of one falsely assuming to be the Lord from how Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that in this material world, everyone is deluded by tribir, gunamayir, bhavir, by the three modes of material nature. And everything is happening under the influence of the three modes of nature. No one can escape the influence. No conditioned soul, put it that way. No conditioned soul can escape the influence of the three modes of material nature. And once having entered into this material body, this material world, taken on a material and having assumed a material body, which we totally identify with, no matter which body we're in, no matter what time we're, at each time we're thinking, yes, this is it, this is who I am. Then we grow old, have disease, and die, get another body, and we think, yes, this is who I am. Whether it's in a four-legged body, a two-legged body, or a multi-legged body, every single body that we take on, we're convinced by the influence and the deluding potency, daivihiyesha gunamayi, by the deluding potency of maya, we're convinced, this is who I am. And what does Krishna say to that? He says, this energy of mine is very, very difficult to overcome. Very difficult to overcome. The only way to overcome it is surrender unto the Lord. And by surrendering unto the Lord, Krishna says it's very easy to cross over what would normally be insurmountable. That insurmountable ocean of material existence becomes reduced. Srila Rupa Goswami gives the analogy like to the size of a water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. So insignificant that one is walking and crossing over that without even any consideration of you have to take a bigger step. It's just in your natural step you can cross over. So the material miseries and the material ocean and the material difficulties that one encounters in conditional life can only be surpassed by one who surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord through the mercy of his devotees, by coming in contact with his devotees. So we can see, I mean, Pondraka's position is quite unusual, yet at the same time, it's quite unique, actually, because generally, as we identify with our body, the common conditioned soul identifying with their body, they're subconsciously, usually it's quite subconscious, thinking that I'm God. It's a little subconscious. Sometimes it comes a little more blatant, but it's a little sub, you know, I'm the enjoyer, everything should be for my pleasure. You know, it's subconscious manipulation of the material world so that we can be happy without realizing that we're actually usurping the position of the Lord. But Pondraka's position was quite, again, unique, because, and he was quite fortunate when you analyze it in that sense, because there he was, at least he knew the Supreme Personality of God, it was Vasudeva, and he knew he had four weapons, he knew so much about the Supreme Lord, and he wanted to carry them. He was totally meditating on the Supreme Lord. Unfortunately, it was just a little, he just needed a little adjustment in his thinking, that not to not be thinking of himself as that person, but still he had quite a lot of information. And as the next verses will explain, his very fortunate demise, and well, actually it wasn't a demise, just the body was a demise, his very fortunate adjustment of consciousness that was made by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, that was made by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, because Krishna is very kind. Krishna is very kind, even to someone who's trying to take his position, he's very kind. He'll straighten them out, he'll adjust their consciousness, and then let them blossom in the correct consciousness. Now that process might take time, and in some cases it might take more time than others, but the Supreme Lord is very kindly arranging that for all of us. He's very kindly arranging the frustration of all of our plans to enjoy in this material world. Very kind of him to do that. Because would he not do that, we would just be staying here forever and ever and ever. And missing out on what? Missing out on that intimate, personal, blissful relationship that each one of us has, a unique, personal, intimate, and unlimitedly blissful relationship that each individual soul, each individual living entity has with the Lord. Whether they're in the human form of life at present or not, every living entity has that unique, loving relationship with the Lord. And the Lord, being that neutral personality, he's situated in neutrality. Whatever the living entity wants in the condition in this material world, he's arranging that they can fulfill their desires somehow, or attempt to fulfill their desires. But at the same time, because and letting the individual exhibit their independence, and very kindly in that, sometimes it's like what's it called, tough love? Tough love, the parents sometimes have to give their children hard lessons to learn, or hard punishment, let's say, or chastisement. But what is, and it might seem to the child at that time, cruel, unjust, unfair, unnecessary, this, that, whatever the child or the person might have, their attitude, why am I being chastised or checked in this way? But it's actually, what's the motivation of the parent? It's out of love. It's out of love so that the child will grow strong, proper, this and that. So out of love. So the Lord, out of love, is very kindly arranging for us to, and Pondraka. When I was reading this, I was remembering Lord Brahma's reaction. Lord Brahma's reaction when he saw Hiranyaksha. After Lord Varaha had killed Hiranyaksha, Lord Brahma's reaction was, "What a glorious death." Actually, Hiranyaksha, when Lord Brahma approached, his face was still glowing. His face was still bright and glowing. And Lord Brahma said, "What a glorious death to have been killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself." So there's nothing to lament in this situation for Pandraka or for this king of Kashi, who was very much part of the Pandraka's problem by supporting him in this foolish way, the king of Kashi. So Lord Brahma said, "What a glorious death! How a living entity can have the opportunity to be killed personally by the Supreme Lord? That's not a small thing." And Narada Muni, he explains to Yudhisthira, in the seventh canto, Yudhisthira, he says that he's glorifying the position of the demons, that the demons, by their intensity, their intense fixation on the Supreme Lord, Narada says, "I think they're actually even better than the devotees. Thank you. I think that they're even better than the devotees because of their intense fixity of mind and purpose on the Supreme Lord." And it doesn't go in vain, even though it happens to be, and it also happens to be not the recommended procedure for the devotees to fix their mind on the Lord in anger or in hate or in envy. But still, because the Lord is what? In the eighth verse of Sri Upanishad, Sapayajak Chakram Akayam Avrinam, Asnaviram Sudam Apapaviram Kavir Manisi Swayambur Payur Yatatata Tritodam Vadach Chaspitibya Samabhya. More or less, with a few syllables pronounced wrongly, no doubt. But anyway, that the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Pure, and he's the purifier. If someone with completely sinful approaches the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Purifier, he can purify that sinful personality of all their sins. He's the Supreme Pure. He's the antiseptic and prophylactic, Srila Prabhupada says in the translation there. And also he's the Kavi, he's the Supreme Philosopher, and he's been fulfilling the desires of all the living entities since time immemorial. So, again, going back to the earlier cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, where it's explained that whatever one has in their mind, whatever desires one has in their minds, whether one is full of all material desires, akama, sava, kama, ova, moksha, kama, udarita, whether one is full of all material desires, or on the other hand, free from all desires, has no desire. Whatever your desire is, or if you're desiring liberation, whatever your desire is, one should approach the Supreme Lord. Because the Supreme Lord is the only one, that only person, that Supreme Purifier, who can accept all of those, the bad qualities, turn them into good qualities, and put one on the right path to service to his lotus feet. And that's what we aspire for. So when I was reading about King, when the king of Benares, Kasi is another name for Benares, and so as his head was sent flying into the city, could you imagine what that would look like? And how the people at first, they couldn't even recognize it as a head at first. They thought, "What is this? Oh, it's a head." It took a while to distinguish. You know, the hair must have been all in the blood and the guts and the this and the that. And oh, it's a head. But whose head is it? The earring, right? The earring. But whose head is it? And they could finally, by recognizing the earring, they could distinguish, because he had promised it was going to be Krishna's head. So they were thinking, "Oh, it's Krishna's head. Oh, look, it's our king's head." So that reminded me of the story of Jayadrath, for some reason. It was flying heads. I made the connection of flying heads. So Jayadrath was a very unique personality, also mentioned many times in Bhagavad Gita. He's mentioned Mahabharata, so many heroic deeds he did. But he had the specific pastime of being very attached, very attracted to Draupadi. So when she was, when her Swayambhara was going on, he went there as a contestant, but unfortunately failed to string the bow and lost his chance to win Draupadi as his wife. But that his attachment and his contemplation of her didn't stop there. So he was always thinking of her. What is that? Sangat Sanjayate. You know, by meditating the object, with my coach here. By meditating on the objects of the senses, he developed attachment, and from attachment, lust, and from lust, anger, and then delusion, and memory was lost. And so anyway, so one time when he was on his very way to his own marriage, was going to his own marriage, but he had to pass through Kamyavan at that time, and there were the Pandavas and Draupadi were in exile, and he happened to see Draupadi near the ashram, and he thought, oh, now's my chance, because the Pandavas were, you know, not exactly right there. They were somewhere in the distance. So he tried to get, so he sent, first thing he did was send a message to Draupadi through one of his assistants, and Draupadi vehemently rejected his proposal, not even a consider, you know, and was totally affronted that he would even propose such a ridiculous thing. And still he didn't give up. So then he tried to grab her and bring her on his chariot forcibly. But Draupadi, being the good Kshatriya lady that she was, she pushed him so hard that he fell over. He fell over and lost his balance, like a cut root tree. Then what? He got up and he grabbed her something, chatter or something, and forcibly dragged her onto his chariot to abduct her. And Domya Rishi was nearby, and he said, stop this abominable thing. You cannot steal the wife of another. If you want to do something like that, then fight the Pandavas face to face and win her like that, but not in this degraded way. Fight like Domya Rishi said, fight like a Kshatriya. Fight like a Kshatriya. And Jayadrath just took her off, and he was going. So Domya followed them behind and was rebuking him from behind. And Domya, through his disciples, sent messages to Yudhisthira and the other Pandavas, and they came charging ahead on their chariots and caught up with him, lickety-split, as you could say. Lickety-split, they caught up with him. But Yudhisthira, one of the first things Yudhisthira said was, don't kill him. Don't kill him because he's related to us as a cousin, because Dushala? Now who's Dushala? Yeah, Dushala was the sister of, oh, Duryodhan. Okay, thanks. So yeah, she said he's the son of Dushala or something, or somehow there was some familial relationship there. So Yudhisthira, first thing he said, don't kill him. And when Draupadi heard that, Draupadi said to Bhima, if you want to please me, you should kill him. So anyway, so Bhima and Arjuna, when they catch up to him, Bhima tells Yudhisthira, you can go back, and they get Draupadi. They get Draupadi off the chariot. Arjuna, as they're approaching, Arjuna's 2 miles behind, and he can see him ahead, 2 miles ahead. So he takes his arrows and he chants specific mantras. And his arrows, and he lets loose his arrows that fly above the tree line and then come down and kill Jayadrath's 4 horses. So Jayadrath is then left without a chariot, and he abandons Draupadi and goes off on foot into the jungle more. Bhima catches up, takes Draupadi, puts her on Yudhisthira's chariot, and tells Yudhisthira that they can return now to the ashram, that Jayadrath is as good as dead. And Yudhisthira again said, don't kill him. So Bhima and Arjuna continue to chase after Jayadrath, and Bhima catches him and gives him a and smashes his head on the ground and kicks him and does so many things and says, "This fiend is as good as dead, but what can I do? My brother has commanded us." So he thinks what he can do. So he takes out a sharpened arrow, cuts his hair, funny, and leaves five tufts of hair. Oh, it never grows back? Hare Krishna. Because I was wondering, because, you know, you figure after it grows back, no one knows. Okay, so the hair never grows back again. So he's extremely, and what does we hear? That one who is honored, one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death for a kshatriya like that. Because that type of humiliation means that he's been defeated by a superior person. So being defeated by a superior person, Bhima says, now the only way I'm going to spare your life is if you go and tell everybody you meet, every single time you meet them, that you are now a slave of Yudhisthira. Jayadrath is trembling. He says, yes, yes. He says, okay, come. And so he takes him on his chariot, and we'll see what my brother says. He takes him to Yudhisthira, and Yudhisthira sees him in such a deplorable, humiliated condition. And he says, Jayadrath says, now I am your servant, your slave. And Yudhisthira says, now release him. So then what happens is one can imagine that the mind is so disturbed by such a humiliating defeat like that, and having been a kshatriya and honored and this and that, he's unfortunately only thinking of revenge. So he goes to Gangotri, he performs severe austerities to please Lord Shiva. After some time, Lord Shiva's pleased, and Lord Shiva says, what do you want? He says, I want to defeat the Pandavas. Lord Shiva says, very good, but I'm sorry, you can't defeat them because they're protected by Krishna. But I'll give you the benediction that you can at least defeat them, one, with the exception of Arjuna, you can at least defeat them one by one. So that's his benediction. So then when the battle circumstances continue to mount and tensions continue to rise between the Pandavas and the Kauravas, and the battle takes place, and Jayadrath, of course, immediately goes to Duryodhana and sides with Duryodhana. And so there he is on the battle, and when the fight with Abhimanyu takes place, when Abhimanyu enters that vyuha, the vyuha where no one knew how to enter it except for Abhimanyu, but he didn't know how to get out. But anyway, so he said, they sent him in. You go in, the Pandavas will be right there behind you to protect you. And but Jayadrath was in a very strategic position, and he was able to check the Pandavas from entering into that vyuha, so that Abhimanyu then was killed quite unfairly by 7 great generals. And then, I'm getting to the story of how his head got cut off, sorry. I didn't know it was going to take this long. Then Arjuna, when his dear son of Subhadra was killed, Arjuna took the vow, tomorrow I will kill that low-born wretch, Jayadrath. Jayadrath's reaction was, I'm out of here. And he went to the Kurus and he said, please give me leave, let me leave. And they said, no way, you stay. So they said, don't worry, we'll put you at the whole end of the army. So Arjuna will have to traverse through part of Arjuna's vow, sorry, to make it, said, by sunset, if I don't kill that fiend Jayadrath, then I will enter fire by sunset. So then the Kauravas made the plan that they put Jayadrath at the whole end of the army, Akshohini, division of soldiers, great generals, Drona, this one, Karna, so many great generals, Bhishma, so many great generals in front of them. Or maybe Bhishma was already in the south, anyway. that Jayadratha at the end, Arjuna would have to traverse all of that in one day? Impossible. Impossible. So the battle starts and this and that, and it's quite tedious, quite hair-raising, quite bloody, quite disastrous. Thousands and thousands of soldiers were killed that day by Arjuna. Bhima himself killed 30 of Duryodhana's brothers that day. And still the time was ticking, ticking, ticking. The sun's getting closer to set in the west. Arjuna finally could see Jayadratha. He could finally see him, finally. But it's very close to setting, and there were still great generals to contend with. And Arjuna looks at Krishna saying, Krishna says, don't worry. Krishna throws his Sudarshan Chakra. And so the Sudarshan Chakra, right? It's full of light and brilliance, right? And at that time, the brilliant Sudarshan Chakra, by the order of the Lord, darkens. The Supreme Lord can do anything, no? He darkens the sky as if the sun had set, because it was very close to setting. And so everyone goes, Hari Bol! Arjuna has lost. Hari Bol! Jayadratha's still alive. Now Arjuna has to enter the fire. The war is finished. Hari Bol! Krishna says to Arjuna, put your arrow on the bow. There's still time. But don't forget this one thing. Jayadratha also has a benediction through his father. His father had prayed that anybody who cuts Jayadratha's head off and makes it fall to the ground, that person who cut the head, their own head will crack. So Krishna gives that tip to Arjuna. He said, so empower your arrow to carry the head of Jayadratha to the lap of his father, who's now performing austerities at Samantapanchaka. And so then Krishna calls back his Sudarshan Chakra. The sun rays come out, shoots his arrow, the head goes flying. It wasn't really close to where they were, somewhere. The head goes flying right into the lap of the king, who at that time was sitting in trance meditating. And he's quite astonished when the head, a bloody head, gets on your lap. It stood up. And that was the end of him too. So, many things can happen, many lessons can be learned from that. But what we can learn, one of the lessons we can learn is, always take shelter of Krishna. There's always hope if we take shelter of Krishna. Krishna can work in wonderful ways, ways that our teeny pea brain cannot conceive of. And in fact, the job that the Supreme Personality, it's not his job, but anyway, the job of cleansing our heart is an impossible task. It's impossible for us to cleanse our heart of all the misconceptions and misgivings and misunderstandings and offenses that we've committed lifetime after lifetime in billions of different bodies. And to cleanse that dirty heart, contaminated heart, it's impossible for us. But everything's possible when one takes shelter of Krishna's holy name and his devotees. And that's why Krishna didn't want Pondraka to assume his false name, because Pondraka didn't have that potency of being able to cleanse hearts. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Comments or corrections or... Prabhu.
Very nice class. Thank you.
Krishna's kind.
You always give very nice class. In third canto, second chapter, the Uddhava was narrating Vrindavan Leela.
Mm-hmm.
One of the part, but I believe after six, because six is very fascinating, that you can be in Alachua, according to Prabhupada, and serve Krishna in Golok Vrindavan.
Mm.
Prabhupada gave a very nice breakdown. How? And then after a few texts after, if I recall, the Prabhupada also put in the purport that while Uddhava was lamenting that everybody got delivered, not me, and he was crying. Well, in the purport, Prabhupada writes that though in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Sudarshan Chakra killed all of them, but there is a three perception Prabhupada gives, very nice. One is that the Sudarshan Chakra's main job is it dissolved the subtle body and physical body. Then what else is left with me, Ram Govinda Das? The soul. At that time, if I will be able to see Krishna's real beauty, but if I do not have a training to appreciate Krishna's mercy. So Prabhupada said, those who appreciated, they went to Vaikuntha. Those who glorified went to Golok. And those who did not do, then Prabhupada writes, like Shishupal, he did not do it, so they merge. All get benefit, but it's up to us also. So more we appreciate and glorify the devotees and Krishna, we will be having more chance to be in Golok Vrindavan.
And especially we can take advantage on days like today. Ekadasi is always very auspicious to increase our hearing and chanting. What to speak of Nirjala Ekadasi? What to speak of whatever, so one might think, oh, I can't do Nirjala Ekadasi, blah, blah, blah. That might be there. But whatever we can always increase our hearing and chanting. So let's try to do that together. Our commentator, Trivikram Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
So that in the seventh canto, you were referring to the conversation between Narada and Yudhishthira, or you? Right on. So Narada was telling Yudhishthira that we're seeing in dualities, friends and enemies and so forth. The Lord does not see that way. That even if one is thinking about him as an enemy, he still gives him liberation. You see, I mean, it would be different than a devotee's, but that was the essence there. So that was why, because when Shishupal merged into the Lord, that was when Yudhishthira asked the question. And he says, but the Lord doesn't seek like us really. See, and so even though Shishupal was his enemy, he still gets liberation.
Like, thank you.
And then a quick point more, and then he's going to give his answer. There's a set of philosophers. I mean, they're Mayavadis, but they're a little different in the sense that they feel that each one of us is a tiny god, but when we become perfected, we become a real god. You see? So that type of people don't really appreciate God so much because they feel eventually they can become God. I don't know if Prana wants to comment on that, but
Nine 15, Prabhupada put in the purport, there are three types of worship. Vishyato mukham, is it? Gyana yogena, and the purport, there's three types of worshipper, and third class of the third worshipper is this category, what he just explained, according to Prabhupada. Now on that one, there was one thing was very catchy to me. The Prabhupada quote these verses, Aveshatu agam hitta bhavata gritam gatim gata. The difference was the King Bena, Prabhupada writes that he did not get. He criticized God. Shishupal criticized, but he went. So what was the difference? Difference was absorption. Intensity is required to see the result.
It wouldn't be class if we didn't have our commentators in the back there. Daily commentators. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.